out there in Podcast Land, and welcome back to Spoilers, the movie review podcast on the Rat Pack Podcast Network, where your hosts have lots of opinions but zero credentials. I'm your host, Hollywood, and I'm joined by my co-host, Adam.
Hello.
And today, we're watching...
You talk about the opinions. I'd like to say that I think our opinions are pretty respectable.
Yeah.
Unlike we were told this weekend.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Because we went to WonderCon.
Yeah.
And we were in the Rotten Tomatoes panel. It's called Your Opinion Sucks.
Right.
It's Your Opinion Sucks, : the Rotten Tomatoes critics versus fans.
Yeah. So they did this at the, Kamikaze. That's where they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did
that's
at Kamikaze.
That's where we first did it.
Right. We first saw it. We did our thing, and then they came back for WonderCon. I assume it's going to be at all the cons now.
Remember the Comic Con I told you in Long Beach?
Yeah.
That's coming up. Well, they had another one in Long Beach a few months ago.
Right.
And they were there.
Yeah. So it's a fun thing. I mean, it's the whole panel is, it's kind of like, it's a shameless plug for Rotten Tomatoes in a way, because they don't have to really do anything. They just kind of show up and the audience does most of the work and they just have to talk back. It's kind of like a mini podcast type of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's just, somebody goes up and like, hey, this movie's great. This is why. And they say, no, you're stupid. And this is why you're stupid.
Your opinion sucks.
Your opinion sucks. Or vice versa. Like, this movie was horrible. Like, no, this is why it was good. Blah, blah, blah. So, it's pretty cool. I like the interaction with the audience. That's a nice plus for people.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of trolls.
Yes.
There was a lot of people just looking for stage time, vitriol, saying stupid things.
Like one guy went up there and he said, Kazam, fresh. It's the best movie ever made.
Wow. See, it's taken away from the spirit of it.
Like,
I understand that some of these movies are going to be controversial, but to go that, who really likes that?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of movies that are like, yeah, they were made, and everybody's sorry they were made. Let's not rehash it. There's no way that anybody ever thinks those are good. I'm pretty sure even Shaq thinks that movie sucked. there's no way he's going to walk away from that like, yeah, I'm proud of that shit. No. There's no way.
They did do a movie we reviewed, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Somebody backed that up. And they brought up an interesting point, which I'm not sure if it's true or not. That if you watched all four back to back, that it fits in more with the theme. He said that like the weirdness of it, the campiness of it, is kind of on point with the rest of the movies.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's just that if it's true what the guy said, he said if you compare Temple of Doom, its campiness with the Crystal Skull campiness, they're right there. And Temple of Doom isn't as great as people remember it. I challenge all our listeners to go back and rewatch Temple of Doom. It's not as great as you remember.
Interesting.
Have you ever done that? Saw a movie when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Went back and you were just like,
yes. I had a weird thing with Princess Bride where I watched it as a kid and loved it. And then I saw it again a couple years ago and I was like, oh no, it's not as funny as I thought it was. Then I saw it again more recently. I was like, oh no, it is pretty good.
Yeah.
I went the roller coaster ride with that one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I was in a bad mood the day that I saw it and thought, no, it's not as good as it used to be. But then I saw it again and like, okay, now we're back.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of movies that are just, what?
I did like the guy who went up there and said the Avengers was rotten.
Oh, yeah.
And he had legitimate, gripes about it to back it up. And the whole room lost it. They're like,
right. But I feel like by the end of his whole thing, they were kind of like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
He kind of saved himself by saying that Winter Soldier was superior.
Yeah.
Which I guess it can't be argued, even though I haven't seen that one yet.
So me and Adam are standing in line to go up there. And we're like, man, this guy was hilarious. This guy was awesome. And then we see him sit with two other guys who we find out worked for Rotten Tomatoes.
Like, wah, wah.
So it's like, oh, if it was just a normal Joe, like me and Adam, that would have been great.
They were stacking the deck.
Yeah.
The Rotten Tomatoes people. I feel like if they wanted to talk to their coworkers about a movie, they can do that at the fucking office.
But Monday through Friday.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Because we got stuck with 30 seconds. They cut our time in half.
Yeah.
And Adam went up and did Bruce Willis, of course.
Right. The Looper. That's what I did. Yeah.
And you said it as?
It sucked. I don't like Looper.
Okay.
It's rotten. Bruce Willis is still Bruce Willis in the movie, which is cool. Even Joseph Gordon-Levitt is being Bruce Willis is kind of cool to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a fanboy for Bruce Willis. Even the crazy prosthetics I was into. I'm like, oh, yeah, now there's two Bruces on screen. I like it. But the time thing was fucking horrible. The time travel thing that they did, the way they tried to perceive time travel in that movie was so god-awful that it threw me way out of the movie. But that was my complaint. And I think they mostly agreed with me.
Yeah. I went up there and did Face Off.
Yes.
And I defended it as fresh.
As you should.
I remember they said it was 90 or 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. That makes it certified fresh.
Yeah.
Even the way we do it at Rotten Tomatoes, like both methods, it's considered certified fresh. But I've been hearing a lot lately from all these people like, oh, Face Off sucks. It's a cheesy action movie.
Yes.
Cheesy movies can still be good.
Yes, it was amazingly cheesy.
Yeah.
Like The Rock also. I was talking about the Rock with Jester the other day.
Uh-huh.
And somehow he just came up and I threw out that line about your best.
Yeah.
Losers always complain about their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Yeah.
And we just kind of kept going back and forth with ridiculous lines, and it just got so nostalgic for that shitty movie. Like, I got to see it again now just because it's so good, but it was really bad.
Yeah. And The Rock does the thing that I said to the panel. I said a ridiculous action movie always finds a way to work the title into the movie through dialogue.
Uh-huh.
So in The Rock, it's when he goes under the heat.
He goes through the cylinders.
The cylinders, the and he times it. Yeah. And he opens the thing and he goes, "Welcome to The Rock."
Yeah.
And then in my movie, Face Off, it's the classic. You know apart, Adam.
Absolutely.
I want to take his face. His henchman goes, "You want to take his face?" Yes.
Yeah,
his
little face. Little surgery.
Off.
Take his face. Take his face off. Yeah. Eyes, nose, mouth, lips. It's all coming off.
And then in Con Air, another ridiculous one, Malkovich says it. When they hijack the plane, he gets on the mic and he says, "Welcome to Con Air."
See, now, do you think that the title came first and then that line, or they made the whole movie and then decided... we'll choose that line. That'll be the movie thing.
I've heard Corolla and Simmons talk about this. Corolla's theory is that they get the title first.
Yeah, some of those movies, the title does come first for sure.
And then they hire,
they
you
find
know,
a way to
Cage
make a movie around
whoever.
It. Yeah,
because isn't it weird that Nick Cage is in all three of these movies?
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Yes.
But that was back in the height of the Nick Cage era.
Yeah, that's before he got super... Well, I mean, I guess he's always been a little ridiculous, but this is, like, good ridiculous.
Because it was... I think The Rock came first.
Yeah.
And then I think he won his Oscar. And then he did Face Off. And then he did Con Air. It was... I think Face Off came last, but...
Okay.
Somewhere between those three movies, he also won an Oscar. So this was the height of the Nick Cage...
What did he win for? For one of those movies? No. Like adaptation?
Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, my.
Where he plays a drunk.
Okay.
Yeah. Really serious. Like, people are like, oh, wow, this guy can act?
Oh.
But, you know, people are like, can you retroactively take an Oscar back? And we even did a Nick Cage one.
That's right. And that was about as bad as it gets.
What was it, Stolen?
Yeah.
Yes.
You'd never steal from the best thief or something.
Yeah, never steal from the best thief.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, but no, that Rotten Tomatoes thing was pretty fun.
Yeah.
The whole con, I think, was very fun for me.
Yeah.
But I did have a problem with them stacking the deck with their own people.
Yeah.
And there's one guy standing in line behind us talking to way too much.
Yes.
Trying to, like, become friends of ours or something. Yeah. I thought he was a friend of yours at the beginning. He was talking to us.
Because I went with a group of people.
Yeah. And like, all right, your buddy's being a little weird. And then he says something to like, oh, he doesn't know him either. What the fuck are we talking to him for?
Oh, I whispered to you because like he was also talking because he was behind us. And then he tried to talk to the people behind him. So then I whispered to Adam, man, this guy's fucking annoying. And Adam gave this look like, yeah.
Yo. Yeah. All right. Cool. I guess. Oh, is that your friend then? Yeah. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. It was good. Overall, very good experience.
Yeah.
And we got new paddles. The rotten and the fresh
paddles. Wow, yes. We got a lot.
Yeah, now we got four. Two vintage ones.
Yes.
And two of the new ones from the WonderCon.
If any of the regulars decide to show up again and do a show.
I feel like we can't call them regulars anymore. Just host, co-host.
Guests.
Guests.
They're now officially guests.
All right.
So this movie that we're
reviewing
today, comes a request from Martin.
Yes.
We actually got a request from him previously, and he was from Kenya with Love,
yeah.
And he wanted us to do The Prestige and a couple other movies, so we're slowly going through his list. So today we're doing his list, and Martin actually sent us an email on how he discovered us and everything, and thank you, Martin.
Right.
Thanks for being a fan.
Absolutely.
For this show and all the other shows on the network. Yes. I assume you listen to those shows.
Yes. I had talked to him before about how he stumbled upon it. He does listen to all the shows on the thing.
That's good.
But I guess he gets suggestions for spoilers because, I mean, we're literally asking for suggestions.
Yeah.
Other shows, I guess, we should probably ask
Not
for
figuratively.
Yeah,
we are literally
literally asking for suggestions.
So one of the movies he requested was The Ides of March. Do you remember this movie, Adam?
Yes.
Okay. Let me give you a quick back to business, then we can start talking about it.
All right.
2011's The Ides of March, directed by George Clooney, written by George Clooney, starring George Clooney, Ryan Gosling, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Evan Rachel Wood, Paul Giamatti, and the hottie herself at the age of 50, Marissa Tomei, or Mrs., I'm not even sure.
Doesn't matter.
let me show you the brief synopsis. An idealistic staffer for a new presidential candidate gets a crash course on dirty politics during his stint on the campaign trail. Now, I remember seeing this in theaters thinking, whoa, that is a loaded cast.
Yes.
Like, let's see. You have George Clooney, Oscar winner. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Oscar winner.
Amazing.
Marissa Tomei, Oscar winner.
Ooh, baby.
Paul Giamatti, Oscar nominee.
Love it. So far, I'm totally on board with all these people.
Ryan Gosling. Fucking Ryan Gosling.
I think this movie has made me finally decide that I'm not a big fan of his.
Oh, I got a recommendation for a Ryan Gosling movie.
Okay.
Later on.
Okay.
It's not Drive. Evan Rachel Wood. She was good in The Wrestler. Did you ever see The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke?
Yes, I did.
She's the daughter
to
Randy the Ram Robinson.
Yeah. She's good, too.
Yeah. Marilyn Manson's
ex. She's been in a bunch of other things, too, right?
A couple things.
She looks familiar, at least.
She's like compared to this cast, she's like the rookie. Like, if this was a baseball team, she's like the rookie being called up from AAA.
All right.
So, this, I told Adam before we recorded that, Oscar bait.
Right.
Right when I saw this movie, I thought, Oscar bait.
Okay. Now,
an Oscar bait.
Yes, please. For the listeners, explain for the listeners. I obviously know exactly what you're talking about. But for those that may not know, for some reason.
Yeah. So there's different types of movies that are made in Hollywood. Think of it like a scale. Like, remember how in math, there's a scale from like 0 to 10?
Yeah.
So movies like Sharknado that are just ridiculous and they know they're bad and they admit that they're bad. Like, they're practically winking at the camera, like, oh, look how bad this is. They're made with the intention to be bad.
By the way,
yeah,
small side tangent.
Uh-huh.
Sharknado has spawned a whole new genre of movies, or a more mainstream of the ridiculous, stupid stuff.
Not really. They've always been ridiculous movies.
Yeah, but I feel
this
I feel like Sharknado,
because of Sharknado,
tipped
now,
it over the edge, and now it's
become
in your face.
Quote, I'm doing the finger quotes.
Yes.
Acceptable.
Yes.
To like these kind of movies.
Before, these were hiding in the closet where they should be. Now they're like right in your face, and like, this is very upsetting.
Do you remember when we met Lloyd Kaufman at Kamikaze, the guy who founded Troma?
Yeah.
These were all his movies in the 80s.
Okay.
It's stuff I grew up watching.
Like, all right.
Surf Nazis Must Die and Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD.
Oh, my.
Then we got a movie like Tango and Cash.
Right.
Where it's bad, but it's fun. Then you got a movie like, what's a movie that people didn't think, like, it would be good? Like The Butterfly Experiment or The Butterfly Effect.
Butterfly Effect?
I didn't think that would be good. I was like, fuck that movie.
And
it turned out to be good.
Yeah, okay.
I liked it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Then you got a movie like The Avengers, where it's like, it may or may not be good, but it's going to make a shitload of money.
Right.
Then you got your art house stuff.
Like
Birdman.
Oh my God.
May or may not win an Oscar, but you know, it's about the art.
Okay.
And there's a movie like this, Oscar bait. This is a movie whose sole intent is to win an Oscar.
Wow.
It's an art house indie whose sole intent is to win an Oscar. So they have all these Oscar winners and Oscar nominees as the cast. They have George Clooney, who's Mr. Hollywood, like probably the only big like Hollywood, like Frank Sinatra style like guy.
Yeah.
Writing the movie, starring the movie, and directing the movie.
I didn't know he wrote and directed it up until this moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So, plus, I told my girlfriend Sarah, I said, fuck, I think Clooney's going to start running for office or something. It's like, this looks like this is going to be his future. So, my first note is Oscar bait.
Okay.
So, pretty much the gist of this movie is Ryan Gosling works for George Clooney. He's a he's like his media guy.
Yeah, he's like a PR person type of.
Yeah,
he helps run the campaign, keeps things moving forward, floating.
Yeah,
does all the talking to people, make sure that everything comes off
Clooney
well.
Looks good,
right? Exactly,
because Hoffman runs the campaign.
Yes,
like he's the one making the decisions for Clooney, like, okay, well, we're going to talk to the union guys at this factory, and then we're going to go here. So then Gosling's job is to spin it like, see, he supported unions, now we're at the unions.
Right.
See press, see how good he is? But, Gosling gets a call from Giamatti, who's returning to our show.
Yeah.
Do you remember what movie he was previously in, Adam?
Oh, no, don't remind me. It's the John Dies at the End.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that was the worst.
Making his triumphant return, spoilers,
yeah.
Mr. Paul Giamatti.
I love Giamatti. Everything he does,
he
I
was
think
awesome
is
in this one.
Yeah.
I loved him
so
in
good.
This.
So good.
He was so good in this, especially, we'll get there.
Yeah, yeah.
With that. So he makes him a job offer, and he says, you're working for the wrong camp. You need to come work for us.
Right. So they go have a meeting. They have a lunch meeting or a dinner meeting.
At a bar.
Yeah. Which apparently is a very... Well, this movie, it taught me a lot about politics that mm-hmm. I wasn't sure about. Like, behind the scenes stuff is like, okay, yeah, it makes sense. But talking at all to somebody from the other side is like a fireable offense.
Yeah.
Which I feel like it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, if you're giving them secrets, of course, yes.
Yeah.
But just to talk to somebody, what if you're friends with it? What if your friends will go back?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was a bad thing he did, apparently. But...
Now, the whole thing about this story is Clooney is going to be – he's supposed to be the next JFK, like the beacon of light who's going to lead us. He's pretty much Obama.
Mm.
This character is Obama mixed with – I'll get to that note as we go.
All right.
He's pretty much going to be like – no. He's pretty much going to be like Obama, a beacon of hope.
Okay.
And his sign – you remember the Obama hope posters where
yes.
it said hope? His says – Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
Anyway, it looks like the Obama campaign, pretty much. So,
okay.
It looks like this guy is legitimately a good guy.
Did this came out in 2011? Was this before or after that George Clooney had a big party at his house for Obama?
Well, Obama was elected in 2010.
Okay.
So, this is right after his...
Maybe a little bit of inspiration at the party?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't even know that they met.
Yeah. There was a big old to-do. It was like a big Hollywood party. I think it was at George Clooney's house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Obama was there or not, but it was supposed to be an Obama fundraising campaign. I feel like he was there, but that was a long time ago.
Oh, okay. I remember what the poster says now.
All right.
It says the Clooney poster in the same pose as Barack Obama. It says believe.
Huh.
So he's meant to believe, we as an audience are meant to believe that this guy is a legitimately good politician.
Okay.
And Philip Seymour Hoffman's meeting with, did you ever watch Casino Royale?
Yeah.
Do you remember the CIA agent, that black guy? I forgot his name.
Yeah.
When he gets out of the poker game, he says the CIA will give you money, but we get to nab El Chifre or whatever.
He's also been a bad guy. And so he's a weird, really weird villain in a movie.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Put my finger on it.
Yeah. So that guy, he is a senator for, I think, Ohio.
Yeah.
And the deal Hoffman is trying to make is... Give us your, because this isn't even for the presidency. This whole movie is, it's Clooney fighting to get the presidential nominee within the Democratic Party.
Right.
So these are the primaries. So they're trying to make a deal saying, okay, look, we know you're the senator of this state. This guy, he's the governor of Pennsylvania. If you put in a good word for us with your constituents, he can win the state. And then, you know, the dominoes start falling. Our boy will become the Democratic nominee, and he's going to win the presidency. So he winds up trying to make a deal with him, saying, okay, if I do that, then Clooney has to make me Secretary of State or something.
Yeah, some member of the cabinet, some sort of internal position.
It is Secretary of State.
Okay.
Very House of Cards-y, sort of. You ever watch House of Cards?
I tried to.
Okay.
I didn't not like it, but is a show much like this
now
movie.
Now, that's... TV, it's Emmys. That's Emmy bait right there.
Oh, yeah. well that's like, I feel like that's deserving of it. This is, I don't know about this one.
Yeah.
But House of Cards, much like this movie, it requires your attention.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be like washing dishes or folding laundry while this is happening because you need to focus.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss something, it's like, oh, what? Then things stop making sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't like to do very often. I like to multitask. I don't want to have to fixate so much on it. This movie was tough to watch for me. March. It was.
Okay.
Because it was very slow. There wasn't anything really happening.
Mm-hmm.
The action parts of it were just like controversial dialogue things.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it doesn't get the blood pumping for me. It just,
yeah.
It was,
You're like, oh, wow, look at him talk about the budget.
Yeah. Oh, ooh. Oh, snap. No, you didn't. You said that in that way.
No, you didn't promise a seat at the caucus.
Right. Yeah. Who do you think you are, Secretary of State? Woo, yeah. Girl.
So when Hoffman comes back from his meeting, he tells him he wants you to make him Secretary of State. And Clooney says, I told myself I wouldn't make any of these backdoor deals.
Right.
Like, he wants to be legit. And yeah. That's unheard of. Like, every politician makes deals like that.
Yeah. And Gosling is, he's like full, he's drinking the Kool-Aid of this guy.
Uh-huh.
He thinks that like this guy is going to change the world, which I don't think is no politician of any kind elected to any position is ever going to make so much of a change that the world's going to be different.
Yeah.
But Gosling thinks that this guy is Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Who come to Earth to save America.
He even says to Evan Rachel Wood, which we haven't even got to.
Oh, by the way, I know her from Down in the Valley. It's okay. An Ed Norton movie I tried to watch once.
Okay.
Where he plays like a cowboy, and it's just such a – that's a really bad movie. For Ed Norton, it's like, wow. But she was a main opposite of Norton. But anyway.
You know what's another bad Ed Norton movie that I think would be perfect for us? Did you ever see The Score?
Whoa, hold on. De Niro and...
De Niro and fat...
Godfather?
Yeah, there you go. What's his name? Brando.
Brando, yeah.
Yeah. He's bigger in The Score than he was in Dr. Moreau.
I remember liking that movie.
Yeah? Remember what I said? Go back.
Oh, no.
It's not as great as you remember it.
That's a movie that I actually bought on VHS.
Okay.
Because I liked it.
Okay.
But I think that was fresh off of my Ed Norton...
American History X...
No, viewing? Fight Club.
Okay.
I was right late in the game with Norton.
Okay.
Because I grew up in that Christian bubble thing, so I couldn't see a lot of movies. So Fight Club I didn't see until much later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like right like after high school or in the middle of high school I saw Fight Club, so I was like all Ed Norton crazy. So Score, new movie. De Niro also? Yes, great. I'm on board. I buy it and I actually bought VHS.
And you're so, like that guy was a Godfather? What the fuck?
Yeah, I never seen the Godfather before. I think I've seen the first one now. Not memorable though, so.
One of the greatest movies of all time. Not memorable.
It's all right.
Yeah.
That was a homework watch for me. I had to watch it.
Oscar bait?
It was slow enough, I guess. If this is Oscar bait, it's the same level of being so slow. Then yeah. Like, yeah, sure.
So back to this movie.
Yeah.
Gosling tells Evan Rachel Wood,
yo,
this guy is the only guy who can actually make a difference.
Right.
And bring change.
Yeah.
So she gets into this movie. She's an intern who works for the campaign.
Yes.
And they wind up hooking up, and she's only 20.
She says she's 20, and then later says she's a teenager.
Yeah. Sarah caught that.
Yeah.
She caught that when she was doing his tie, like, not bad for a teenager.
Yes.
And Sarah looked at me, and she goes, oh, my God, is the big twist going to be that she's actually underage?
That's what I was thinking. Was I thought as soon as she said teenager, I was like, oh, that's it. That's the plot of the movie. Underage intern is getting tossed around the office, and that's going to be bad for the campaign. That's my first thought.
Oh.
But first of all, she, during the discovery process, Gosling finds out that she's 20 years old, and we're assuming he's over 30.
No, he said he is 30.
He is 30. Okay.
Yes.
Well, he says it in a kind of like a, meh, let's just say 30. I feel like
I believe him because... He says he's 30, and then they said, oh, you've worked for more campaigns than anyone at your age.
Okay.
And usually people in this are in their 30s, 40s.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with 30.
All right.
I believe him.
So he's 30, and during the discovery process, they go to get drinks and discover that she's 20 and that she's the daughter of the DNC chairman.
Yes.
Which I feel like if you're really serious about your political career, maybe stay away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's hot. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But if this is going to be your job, wow. You're going to make a huge enemy real quick if things go sour.
And he didn't know that was her dad?
Yeah.
That's like everyone's boss.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But yeah. In fact, she says that. She refers to her dad as his boss. He's like, he's not really my boss. This other guy is Ryan or what?
Hoffman. Philip Seymour Hoffman's his boss.
No. Who's the – damn it. The Clooney, what's his guy's name?
In the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's Clooney?
Governor Mike Morris.
Okay.
Morris. Yeah, I think he refers to Morris as being his boss.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
and I know he's not in HR. He's in public relations.
Right.
But I'm sure somebody would have said, hey, she's the head of the Democratic convention.
Yes. We got an intern here.
Whose father.
Yeah, watch it.
Yes.
Yes, it needs to be watching around this intern.
This intern, you're not sending her out to get coffee now.
No.
We have to actually give her things to
do. Exactly. She's not going to be collating and stapling.
Yes.
She's going to be doing more important things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like this campaign is off to a rough start.
Yes.
just based on that. Yeah. Like, okay, there's trouble here.
Yeah, and he hasn't even, this isn't even for the presidency. Who knows what would happen if he ran for president? But we'll get there. So Marissa Tomei comes into the picture. She's a reporter for the Washington Post or
the Time.
The New York Times.
Yeah.
One of those prestigious newspapers.
Yeah.
And she's trying to grill Gosling to get stuff out of him. And she says a line that was so good. Because I hate all politicians.
Okay.
I think all politicians secretly work for bankers, like investment bankers and CEOs.
I feel like this movie pretty accurately portrayed how politicians are to us.
Yeah. One of my notes is, who cares who's going to become the president? They're going to work for these bankers anyway.
Right.
My note that I put from her exact quote was Gosling praising this guy. Oh, Governor Morris is this, Governor Morris is that. He can bring change. He's so good. She says, he's a politician. He's a nice guy, but he's a politician. He's going to let you down sooner or later.
Ah.
Just like Obama.
Oh, boom. Wait, so was this a pro-Obama movie then or anti?
Dude, it's Clooney. He's fucking liberal. Of course this is pro-Obama.
But the way that this whole thing shook down, which we'll get to eventually.
I would think so. Because he's pretty much like, this movie came out a year after Obama won the presidency.
Okay. Now,
Obama's whole thing was change and hope. This guy is believe.
Right. It's the same thing.
And he's a Democrat?
Yeah. See, now, we'll get to the twist later on, but there is a controversy that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Would that be like Obama's doing cocaine back in the day? Is that what we're trying to...
Because every politician has dirt.
Yeah, right. So this
you just got to figure out how to get the dirt.
Right.
You just got to dig.
All right.
Oh, by the way. That speech Giamatti gives Gosling in the bar, I would have fucking switched sides right there, dude.
Yeah.
That speech Giamatti gave.
Giamatti was
so
amazing.
Great.
Every time he was on screen, it was like, oh, yeah, that's my guy. I want to work for him. I want to be on his team, whatever team that is.
Still a Democrat, just a different,
candidate. Yeah, different. Right. So this would be Hillary versus Obama.
Yes, because it's the primary. You're picking who's going to represent the Democrats in the presidential election. That's what this is.
Yeah.
So, that's a good analogy.
Right.
Oh, for the Kenyan listener?
Yeah.
Hillary Rodham Clinton is the former. Yeah, you know who the fuck she is.
Right, yeah. also, your boy Obama is we're
my
talking
boy.
About. No, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
From Kenya.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding. And he was born in Hawaii. Who cares?
Yeah. Show us your papers. Wah.
Stupid. Wah. So dumb.
And
they're still at it. I feel like even as recent as 2 years ago, they're still at that shit. The birthers are still around.
Hey, Republicans, the first like five presidents weren't born in the U.S. Jesus Christ. So they film a show on the Charlie Rose show. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
With the all black screen. Have you ever seen Charlie Rose on PBS?
Yes, I have.
I had to watch that sometimes in high school. Very boring.
Yep.
As I got older, I appreciated it more.
Yes, it starts having more appeal and you understand more that's happening.
I didn't know that was shot in like a hotel fucking conference room. That's what it looks like. Like it's the all black table, Charlie Rose, Clooney. And then it's all these tables, what looks like a hotel ballroom.
Yeah.
I never knew it was taped there. That was like a full on like... So like, studio.
Okay. Now, because I kind of started getting wind of that watching all the Jon Stewarts and Colbert, the way they do their interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll pan out and they'll see just the curtain inside of a regular room of some kind.
I really wish this movie would explain the party that the current president's in.
What do you mean?
So they're running for the ability. So they're going to become the Democratic ticket on the poll. What I want to know is, the current president's in office, is he a Republican or is he a Democrat?
Oh, interesting.
If he was a Republican, that's straight, that's Bush. And Clooney's Obama.
Huh.
I really wish they would have explained that. Just a quick, you know those damn Republicans in Washington.
Right.
Something
well,
they can't
say damn Republicans because then they lose half of their audience. Even though this is obviously a liberal film, as soon as you start, I think, going down that road.
I don't know, dude. It's 2011. It was cool to hate Bush in 2010, 2011. So I think that line would have came through. Oh, we're actually kind of out of order. After the Charlie Rose thing, that's when he meets Ever Rachel Wood and they hook up in the bar. But yeah. Sarah is hilarious to watch these movies with.
All right.
She, okay. After, so Ever Rachel Wood says, when he reveals his age that he's 30, she goes, is that too young to fuck a 30-year-old? When she says her age,
yeah.
Her jaw fucking dropped.
Yeah.
And she goes, slut.
That, oh, yeah. But at the same time, as a guy.
Yeah.
Check, please.
Well, the next morning after they woke up, she goes, I've been trying to fuck you for a while.
Yeah.
And then again, Sarah went, slut.
Yeah.
And she goes, that's kind of slutty of me, huh? And then guess what she said again?
Yeah.
Slut.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about this movie is that he's trying to play this straight, Clooney. There's no smear campaigns. There's no,
yeah.
They're not having commercials or like Governor Wallace secretly, yeah.
He wants to eat your children.
Yeah. Like they don't have any of these commercials, these ridiculous commercials. Like I remember when, someone was running for governor for the state of California. I forgot who it was. The ex president of eBay. It was a woman. She was running for office.
Yes.
Her wages at eBay were so low that the rival tech company, yeah. I'm like, oh, God, stop.
Barbara Boxer?
No. Barbara Boxer is our current senator.
Okay.
This woman was running for governor. She was the ex. She was a white
Brown?
Lady.
Barbara
with,
Brown?
She was a white lady with blonde hair.
Yeah, I picture her and I feel yeah. Who cares? Doesn't matter.
But I'm surprised there weren't smear campaigns on Clooney. That would have been cool if they showed if the other guy, Giamatti's guy,
yeah.
had the commercial like, this guy thinks he's a fucking movie star. Look at him. Like that. All right, Adam. We got to here we are at the twist.
Okay.
They're in the hotel room.
Yes.
They're on the road.
Right.
They're in the hotel room. And what is it? She gets a phone call. Oh, no. Her phone rings. He answers it.
Well, for even before that, something a little creepy for me. As much as Gosling is drunk the Kool-Aid, mm-hmm. and as much as he's like in love with
Clooney,
there's a point where they're having sex and the TV's on for some reason,
mm-hmm.
and Clooney's up there giving a speech and he's like pauses to watch in the middle of sex,
yeah.
which I find very often. They have a laugh about it, which is weird. Like, okay, that's too far.
He might have written the speech.
All right, still.
So I'll make sure my speech sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like you got other things you should be worrying about at that moment. You got a lady.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, she's only 20. Oh, Sarah kept saying that. I'm 20. So she gets a phone call on her phone.
Yeah.
Gosling picks it up. Thinking it's his phone. Because they were all assigned their own phones. All the phones look the exact same.
Oh, okay.
They were given Blackberries.
Okay.
So he thinks it's his phone. His work phone.
Right.
And he picks it up. And...
Yeah. There's nothing. It's like the person hangs up. He uh-huh. He tells the girl, like, hey, somebody called you.
Yeah.
Like, what? Who's calling you at 2:30 in the morning? I'm like, I don't know.
No one.
Yeah.
Because I'm 20.
Yeah. It's like, then they hung up. Well, you answered it? I thought it was my phone. All right. So then he calls back the number,
mm-hmm.
and she starts freaking out.
She's like, give me the phone!
It was a joke at first, like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, you're being silly, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, stop. Really, stop. Put the phone down, right? And she, like, almost has a breakdown. And
he must have gotten a voicemail with whose voice?
Mr. Morris, George Clooney.
Oh, so he's secretly cheating on his wife with this young intern.
Yo, that was a great scene because...
Yeah.
I think it's the only time that I actually felt an emotion out of Ryan Gosling. Like, I'm talking about, like, ever. Not just this movie. You know, all movies that he's done. I feel like this was the one time where he mm-hmm. actually had an emotion. And it was – you saw his whole, like, world just fall out of his face. Because
mm-hmm.
now – not only is now the girl that I'm hooking up with somebody else, kind of. My guy is a douchebag.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ over here. Screwed an intern.
Yeah. He's not as clean as
right.
I thought he was.
Right. Turns out he's not infallible.
My note is, damn, this got good. 48 minutes in, and that twist got me back in.
Yeah.
Because I was bored this whole time. I was like,
This is when the movie starts.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
Everything before this is just fluff.
Yeah. I was like, is this movie going to pick up?
Right. Yeah. I was waiting like, fuck, come on. Something happened. This is all regular shit.
And not only that.
But then boom, boom, boom.
Speaking of fucking up your political campaign.
Yeah.
What the fuck's Clooney doing? Clooney's taking a huge risk.
Yeah.
Because if Gosling, if that guy finds out, you're fucking fired. Marissa Tomei even said, oh, if you lose the campaign, you'll just go back to a consulting firm making like 500 grand a year.
Yeah.
If the fucking word gets out that Clooney's doing it, he's done. He can't even get a consulting job.
I don't know, because I feel like that Wiener dude, he's still doing things.
Yeah.
I mean, he that should have destroyed his whole life, but yeah. He's still doing things. And I think he tried to run for mayor again or something.
Yeah.
Like, all right, so maybe it's not as bad as we all think it is or think it should be.
But there's a line that Gosling tells Clooney at the end in their confrontation.
Yeah.
Well, he tells him, you can do anything. You can rob, cheat, steal, but right. You can't fuck an intern.
Right. Then thank you, Bill Clinton, for that
But Bill Clinton fucked an intern, and people still love him.
Yeah.
And he's still, like, the best president of the 90s.
Right. Well, he became – I feel like he was martyred almost in a way.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't – it was a horrible thing, but yeah.
Not really.
Did it affect his presidency?
No.
If anything, like, he's less stressed, less things to worry about. Let him do his thing. Come on.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's not the only twist, Adam.
Yeah, no. This is when you start. This is the 1-2 punch and then like a 3-4 punch right afterwards.
Here's the 3-4 punch.
This is when the movie gets good.
Yes. Here's the 3-4 punch. She's pregnant.
Yeah.
So now, Gosling, the PR guy, the guy who's got to talk to the press and keep things under control.
Right.
What does he do?
Well, the thing is, like, he says, why is he calling you at 2:30 in the morning? Well, I called him first. Why'd you call him? I didn't know who else to go to. I needed money. For what? I'm Catholic.
That's all she says.
Yeah, but you know exactly what that. Uh-huh. Oh shit! So now I don't know. I don't think they ever actually talked, Clooney and this girl.
No,
it was just it was like they played phone tag and then that was it.
Yeah. Oh, you mean in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were never in the same scene together or anything.
No, but
where they talked.
Yeah, but even like as far as talking about. Because at the end of the movie, Clooney's like, oh, she's pregnant? Is that what she told you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I feel like they didn't even have a conversation, mm-hmm. Clooney and the girl, about what happened.
No.
Yeah. All right, so.
So Gosling takes her to an abortion clinic, and she's sitting there, and he goes, call me when it's done. And the movie I want to recommend to you, this exact same scene happens in the movie that I'm going to recommend to you.
Oh, okay.
He forces his wife in that movie to go get an abortion. Call me when you're done.
The casino?
No. Okay. And she has this look on her face. She has a look on her face. For a second, the look she gave, I was like, she's going to run out that fucking clinic and call the press.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to fuck this campaign up.
Yeah. It could have very easily happened.
Yeah, but she didn't.
She kind of drank the Kool-Aid a little bit too with this guy. She mm-hmm. if she understands it was a weird thing and accident, blah, 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 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
then... I think her logic is, well, my dad is the head of the Democratic Party.
It's going to take his dad down, too.
Could take my dad down.
The whole party goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeesh.
So Hoffman finds out. Well, earlier in the movie, Gosling tells Hoffman, hey, I met with Giamatti, and he fucking flips out.
Yeah.
So
now Marissa Tomei comes back.
Marissa Tomei comes back, and she has information
mm-hmm.
that leaked. And you find out Hoffman leaked it.
Yeah.
So now Gosling
about the meeting.
About the meeting with the senator.
Yeah, so she's blackmailing him, like, you tell me something about the campaign, otherwise I'm going to say that you met with this guy and it's going to screw everything up for everybody.
So Hoffman reveals, yeah, I leaked it because you were stupid. You should have never met with Giamatti. Yeah. And
this is the best way to get you out.
Yeah.
Oof. Wow.
Yeah. And then Hoffman too, dude. Hoffman
everybody gets so cold right around here. Everything seemed like fine and happy. A little bit of trouble trying to get the candidacy going, whatever. But then everybody just like fucking starts stabbing everybody else in the back. Uh-huh. It's like, all right, this is politics now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the boring part of politics for the first half of the movie. And now this is the part of politics why it's...
Not the boring part of politics. The politics we as the public want to acknowledge or think that politics is.
Right.
This, after the abortion, the revelation that it's she's pregnant, this is real politics.
Yeah. Now we're getting into the dirty side.
Yeah.
That what I refer to as like the actual politics.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the other stuff is like boring, but this is what politics really is. These kinds of games, these kind of underhanded and crazy things.
This is when the Wall Street bankers pick up the phone and say, you know that bill that's coming across your desk?
Right.
Don't sign it.
Yeah.
Click. That's this part of the political machine that we don't get to see. So he gets fired. he wants to go see Giamatti, say, hey, is that offer still available? And then you find out that Giamatti never had no intention to hire Gosling.
Giamatti is the star of this movie for me. He took everything from this movie.
Giamatti said, there's two ways about it. Either you can, either you come work for us or you don't work for Clooney at all.
Right.
So guess what? You're not working for us, and now you're not working for Clooney at all. Sorry.
He played it perfectly. Like from the beginning, he already knew everything that was going to happen. Either I get him to work for me, which is a win, or you get fucked and you don't work for him, which is also a win.
Which is also good.
Yeah. It's like, oh, woo.
And he even says, too, he's like, ah, you'll be fine, kid. Yeah. You'll get your consulting job, making $1 billion a year, going to Hawaii every year. You'll be fine. That was, I'm like, fuck.
Yes.
Giamatti.
But I feel like Giamatti, he wasn't as douchey about it as Hoffman was about it. He was kind of like, this is, I'm sorry, bro, this is just a game.
Yeah.
Nothing personal. Mm-hmm. Everything being fair and equal, you're a good guy, but. Mm-hmm. I had to fuck you, bro. Sorry.
<Yeah. laughs>
You would have done the same if it was me. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Ugh. So Ever Rachel Wood is really depressed about what's been happening. And she overdoses on her meds. The meds the abortion clinic prescribed to her.
You think it was an accidental thing?
Oh. Conspiracy?
No. No, I think she committed suicide.
She got the Marilyn Monroe treatment?
No, I think she killed herself.
Okay.
I don't think it was an accidental overdose of prescription medication. I think she killed herself.
Yeah, that's what I think you're meant to believe.
Okay.
Because she's so sad. She's like, oh, I can't believe it's happening.
Right. Because some of the intern burst in her room after the same day she had an abortion. So she's already crazy emotional wreck.
Yeah.
And comes in and says, oh, Gosling got fired. And he got strung up and hung in the fire type of thing. And she's like, no, what? No. So she calls. She's trying to get hold of him this whole time.
And he's like, ah, fuck her. I'm not going to pick up her phone.
Right. So she, I guess, loses it and takes too many pills.
Mm-hmm.
Was Gosling on his way to see her? Is that how he managed to get into that room? Or okay.
Yeah.
So he just happened to be in the place. He saw a phone on the bed, grabs the phone, and now Gosling has gotten fucked so bad by everybody now it's his turn to do some fucking.
Oh, this next scene is awesome. It's they're doing a press conference on her death.
Yes.
And they go, some reporter's like, oh, did you know the girl, Governor? I wasn't really familiar with her.
Yeah.
And then
I don't know her well, but I knew her. I knew she had a good
spirit
about
her
and blah, blah, blah.
I knew of her.
Right.
Even though her dad is my boss. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. And I was inside of her or something.
Oh, and this next, what Gosling does next is fucking brilliant.
It's terrifying. Yeah. What it is. It's terrifying.
Clooney gets a phone call.
Yeah.
From the dead girl's phone.
Yes.
And you got Gosling right there.
Yeah, he's looking around the room like, what's happening? And you just see Gosling staring at him with the hand to his ear. He's like, yeah, bitch.
And Clooney's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. That was I would have shit my pants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just see, oh, it's the look Gosling had first was like, that's an awesome look.
Yeah.
And also that means I'm screwed.
Uh-huh.
He knows things and it's all coming down.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
And then they meet in a kitchen of a restaurant.
Right. I think it's in the same place they are.
Might have been.
Yeah.
So they meet and they, this is awesome, dude.
Here we go.
Clooney goes fucking, gets dark.
Yeah. See, I feel like the last 10 minutes of the movie saved the first
48.
Like, yeah.
Because I timed it. It was,
okay.
I wrote it down 48 minutes in when you find out that she's sleeping with him. Yeah. Clooney gets super dark.
Yeah.
He goes, what do you want? He goes, you want your old job back? I don't know if I can get you that back.
What do you think you have here? Well, it's like pretty much like you got no cards to play.
Yeah.
He
explains why.
Yeah.
Clooney goes, well, she had an abortion, so you have no proof that there was a baby in her.
There's no paper trail. There's no conversation.
There's no paper trail.
No emails.
There's no conversation.
Now there's no DNA.
No. Mm-hmm.
So
just
what do you got?
Just fucking. Oh, Clooney was so fucking good.
Yeah.
Delivering it.
That was Danny Ocean right there.
Yes.
at that moment. It was Danny Ocean.
Yes. And Gosling says, well, you know, I got her phone and, you know, we can trace the call back. And
yeah. Who's the last person she called? I feel that's a dumb point to make, though, because the call came after she died from the phone.
Yeah.
All right.
That's true. But he's threatening like, oh, well, you know, I can leak this to all the newspapers, and it's your call, Governor.
Yeah, but who are they going to believe? A
A fired
intern guy.
No, or, a guy who used to be on my staff who was fired.
Disgruntled employee.
Yeah, that's what he said. Disgruntled
or
employee.
Me, the governor of whatever.
Pennsylvania.
Like, oh shit.
And then Gosling goes, "What's your call, Senator?
Yeah.
Who do you believe?"
No, but he also puts this thing out, which I think was fabricated. I'm pretty sure it was fabricated.
Yeah.
It's like he's got a note. There was a suicide note.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He says, suicide note. Yeah, okay. There's no paper trail or anything else? Yeah, but there was a note. And in the note, she says that she had your baby, she had an abortion, uh-huh. and blah, 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 but I don't want to hurt you.
And then Clooney goes back saying, what were you doing going to, how do you have this?
How were you in the room?
Note?
Yeah. I was cleaning up your mess. You already fired at this point. What were you doing in the room? Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. You're going there too, huh?
And the deal he wants is, I want you to fire Philip Seymour Hoffman,
yeah.
and I want his job.
Right.
And I want us to go to Washington together so you can become president.
Yeah.
And then Clooney's just giving him the stare.
And this is when you see how cold Gosling has gotten.
Uh-huh.
He's like, Clooney tells him, I don't want to be tied to you for the next 8 years. He's like, whoa. Four. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
Like, fuck.
That was an awesome line.
Yeah. Like, oh my god.
Uh-huh.
All right. See, now I'm getting excited. Mm-hmm. This the last couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Everything was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was brilliantly done.
Yes. So, cut to the next day. Philip Seymour Hoffman's in a deli or
He's getting his haircut. He's in a barbershop.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's in a barbershop. He's leaving. And then Clooney's SUV rolls up and he says, here, get in.
Yeah.
And the door closes and the camera's on the outside of the SUV, so you don't know what they're talking about. And Hoffman walks out.
I swear to God, I thought they were going to shoot him or something. I felt like this movie is just taking such a huge turn. It's gotten so crazy.
Why not?
I was just
right?
To see like a muzzle flash in there. Then his body like falls out the side of the car and the drive off. Like, oh, it's over. It's all over.
He's drunk with power. He's not even,
right.
He's not even the guy picked to run for office.
He just killed Gosling. Now he's coming to kill Hoffman. It's all over.
Oh, you thought Gosling was taken out right
now? No, this is what's happening in my head. Like, oh, this would be so awesome if this happened. You see, Gosling was like, all right, here's the deal. And he's like, it's your call, Governor. And then, boom, kills him. And then goes after Hoffman, gets him, kills him too. And like, all right, it's over. It's like, he knows mm-hmm. his career's over. I'm going out with a bang.
Yeah.
Type of thing. He's leaving Las Vegas or whatever.
Yeah.
He's killing everybody. That's how I pictured in my head. Like, oh, but no, of course, couldn't.
Yeah.
Couldn't go that far. So, yeah. So, Hoffman gets fired. We don't hear about it.
And then you find out that he made the deal with the senator.
Yeah.
Because they're in the same press conference. Like, our constituents are going to vote for Clooney, and we're on to North Carolina next. Ah!
Yeah.
And everybody's going nuts. And Gosling goes outside, and he meets with Hoffman.
Yeah.
And Hoffman tells him, you know what? You got to have a beer sometime to find out what you had to get me fired. And he goes, don't worry, kid. Your consulting job will be there when he's done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, how much money do these fucking guys make?
I know. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
I guess that's why you go into politics, for all the crazy money.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then it ends. We're led to believe that he wins the Democratic ticket, and then he goes on and becomes president. If this is the Obama analogy. Oh, Bill Clinton. That's the other president I was thinking of. Sex scandal, and then hope and change. So this guy's like Obama, Bill Clinton hybrid.
See. He's a Manchurian candidate for the Democrats type of thing.
Well, he's not brainwashed.
I feel like they are. I feel like they're all brainwashed.
Yeah,
all
by bankers.
Yeah, all politicians are just like, they're puppets.
Yeah, to bankers.
Yeah.
Nobody believes me. I say they all work for bankers. Bill Burr has I'm giving credit here.
Okay.
To this bit. Okay. We do not steal jokes here.
Yes.
On spoilers.
We have little asterisks after our jokes. Footnoted with
a footnote. Or MLA style in college.
Oh, yeah.
The parentheses with the Dotson, page 3.
Right.
Okay.
In italics. All right.
Bill Burr makes an awesome point that I always bring up to people. It costs $150 million to run for the presidency, but you only make $400,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
So the position is set up to be bribed, and you're set up to be a puppet. And Bill Burr goes, so you have to play along with the corporations. Otherwise, they're going to put you on that convertible ride through Dallas.
Oh, wow. Too soon.
In my note here, my final note of the movie is, I think the message of the movie is that all politicians have good intentions, but the actual dirty game of politics forces them to go against their ideals and their intentions. Clooney said he would never do backdoor deals or take contributions, and he crumbled in the end because there was dirt. I guess the bankers will have a good time telling President Morris what to do. It's my closing note.
Yeah. It was fun. It got fun.
Yeah.
Just like politics, it's real boring until something exciting happens.
Right when they start running for president, that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Because the dirt starts coming out. In college, he blew a 0.7.
Oh, no. They keep track of those?
No.
Oh, thank
you
God.
Know, people,
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to run for office?
Yeah, what? Not after podcasting for 4 years, yes. 5 years. All the shit that I've said, yeah. Hell no.
So, closing thoughts. Now that we've talked about this,
yeah,
that second half of this really fucking
yes.
gets great.
It was. It's not a movie I would really recommend to people.
I wouldn't watch it again.
No, I would not watch it again.
I probably would watch that confrontation again. That was pretty sick.
I actually had to watch it twice, though. Because I watched it about 2 months ago, thinking we're going to... We got the list from Martin a while ago. And I'm like, all right, let me just burn through these movies, watch them, and take notes. First time I watched it, I didn't really have any notes. And like, I'm just like, all right, I'm just sitting here watching this. All right. Thanks, Martin. I'm thinking in my head, like, this is a horrible movie. And then... Like, all right, now we're actually going to watch it. And like, I had forgotten all about it already.
Oh, okay.
So I had to go back and rewatch it again.
Yeah.
For this recording.
Not very rewatchable. It's not like Tango and Cash where it's super rewatchable. You just throw it on any time.
Sure, yeah. Just like that.
Oh, speaking of Tango and Cash, before we get to the normal Rotten Tomatoes section.
Yeah.
Fucking Tango and Cash, curse, dude. Two cast members who were in Tango and Cash died within 2 days of each other.
What?
So Robert, I forgot his last name. The guy with the big jaw, he passed away.
I don't...
Remember their prison? And he's like, come here to Stallone. Come here. I want to talk to you. And he has that giant jaw. And Stallone grabs him.
Was he shirtless for no reason?
Huh?
Was he shirtless for no reason?
Probably.
Okay.
He died. And then Stallone, Tango's boss, died today.
Oh, my.
Jeffrey Marks, I think his name was. Jeffrey something. Whoever he was. Yeah. Curse. Russell better not be next, dude.
Curse. Curse that took 20 years to act
30.
Itself. 30? Jesus Christ.
Something like that. Okay.
It's a sleeping curse.
So closing thoughts. Was this actual Oscar bait? It had the elements to it.
Yeah.
Politics, corruption.
Boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ripped out of the pages. No, right. Ripped out of the headlines, Law and Order style.
I really, when this movie was first presented to me, I was on board because I generally like stuff Clooney does.
Mm-hmm.
Even the slower stuff, like that lawyer movie that he did.
Michael Clayton.
Yeah. Even that I was enjoyable enough. Mm-hmm. So I like him as a person. And the billboard is actually what like really interesting.
Oh, the Time magazine.
Yeah, the half face.
Gosling, half Clooney.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck does that? What could that mean? Yeah. I know Ides of March was a political thing because when I used to listen to, like, KFI,
uh-huh.
Bill Handel would always talk about the Ides of March and politics type of crap. And so
do you know what that refers to?
No, I don't.
I'll tell you in the facts section.
But I know it has some sort of political relevance. So I'm seeing Clooney and Gosling. And the face-to-face, it looks like he could be a younger version of him, even.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very uncanny thing. Mm-hmm. So I figured, all right, is this going to be some sort of time-lapse thing of before and after? I was just like, what is
that? Like Looper?
Yeah. But I remember being very curious about it. And I hadn't seen any previews for it. So I went in like, all right, let me see what this is about. And then, like, okay, this is nothing at all what I was expecting.
How about this for Looper? How about this? If we're to do a Looper plot in the Ides of March,
okay.
How about this? Gosling is a young Clooney.
Right.
So he's like a house member. Okay? He's in the house. And then the older Clooney is when he moves up the political ranks and becomes president. Okay. In his presidency, they invent time travel.
Okay.
So he goes back. You see where I'm going with this? He goes back to tell the younger version of himself, hey, make sure you don't sign this bill because that'll allow time travel to happen.
Okay.
That's if we were to do a Looper style.
All right, no, let me give you a better one. I think.
Okay.
He's president.
Okay.
He's in the middle of his first term. He's about to run for his second term. During the election for his second term, something comes out from his past. It's really gonna fuck him over. Like, all right,
he fucked an intern and got her pregnant.
This is a game killer. You're not only gonna be not elected, you're gonna get impeached, and you're gonna get all kinds of screwed. So he goes back in time to himself to stop that incident from happening. So he never screwed that intern.
Okay.
But then when he goes back, he ends up screwing it as his older self anyway.
Okay.
Just because.
Okay. Okay. So that was our take on the movie. Like I said at the top of the show, we have lots of opinions, but we don't have any credentials. Now we're going to actually hear from people who have credentials.
Okay.
Do we want to hear good reviews or bad reviews first?
Let's start with the bad, like the movie.
Okay. Dana Stevens of Slate says, "Beware the Ides of March, the slick political thriller, the fourth directorial effort of the velvet voice heartthrob and aspiring auteur George Clooney, adds up to less than it appears to be at first glance, or even the first several glances in your case, Adam."
Yeah.
Kenneth Turan, he directed four fucking movies?
I had no idea.
So this was his fourth.
What else did he do? I'll look it up.
Okay. Michael Clayton? I don't think he did Michael Clayton. Oh, he did Good Evening and Good Luck, that black and white one.
Okay.
I know he did that.
Good Evening, Good Afternoon, and Good Night.
Yeah, whatever that was. Kenneth Turan of the LA Times says, "Even though all the supporting elements of a superior film are here, the actual plot that everything is at the service of it is disappointing. The texture of reality and the sheen of fine craft disguise this for a while, but not forever."
Oh, my. So he did Confessions of a Dangerous Mind in 2002.
That's right, with Rockwell, Sam Rockwell.
All right.
That was a good one.
Good Night and Good Luck.
Mm-hmm.
Leatherheads.
Oh, that shitty football movie?
Yes.
Okay.
With Jim from The Office.
Yes.
And then Ides of March.
Okay.
And since then, also Monuments Men.
Ugh.
Which I hear horrible things about.
Ugh. Talk about Oscar bait.
Is it?
World War II, we're going to rescue art. Bill Murray, Oscar bait.
Mm.
Last bad review. Karina Longworth of The Village Voice says, "For all the timely questions rumbling through Clooney's film, is change even possible? Does a good, quote-unquote, man stand a chance once incorporated into a hopelessly, quote-unquote, bad system? The Ides of March cushions the end of idealism with noir fantasy."
Those noir. Are
the, noir. There you go. Noir.
Noir. LA Noir was a game that was really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good reviews. Moira. Can't talk.
Oh, boy.
Moira. M-O-I-R-A.
Moira.
Moira McDonald.
From Hook. Moira.
Yeah,
Moira.
That's right. Moira McDonald of the Seattle Times says, "The cast of George Clooney's political thriller, The Ides of March, is so good, you could probably enjoy watching this movie with the sound off."
Oh.
No.
No. What's,
how would you know?
It's all dialogue.
How would you know that he called Clooney back? You wouldn't hear the Catholic
no,
part.
No. You need sound. This is one of the movies you need sound.
Yeah.
It's all dialogue-based.
Well, one way...
There's no action at all.
Yeah. Well, in your...
And you can't read Gosling's face.
In your vision. In your scenario, yeah. Gosling gets a bullet to the head and Hoffman.
Oh, my God.
In your scenario. Oh, shit. He goes back in time to tell him, you got to take out Gosling. No, I'm just kidding. So, one way to tell a good director is if you can watch the movie with no sound...
Mm-hmm.
And still follow the plot. Because the idea is that the director is so good visually that you can follow the plot of a movie without hearing words. Because you can tell by a character's reaction and them running. Oh, they're obviously running from something. I don't know what.
Right.
Anyway. Christy Lemire.
No, you couldn't do that with this movie. Because the whole dinner thing, the meeting with the other guy, that would fall death.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know what the hell was happening.
Yeah, you're like, well, I don't get it.
Yeah, who's that guy? Why is he doing that?
Yeah.
Why is that? What? Okay.
Christy Lemire of the Associated Press says, "Gosling radiates charisma, schmoozing and charming reporters and staffers with equal ease. But beneath that slick exterior, his character is a true believer." It's not really a good review.
That's a synopsis.
You're just describing Ryan Gosling.
Right. These are facts.
Yes.
Okay.
Roger Ebert, Chicago Sun-Times, says, "The movie's strength is in the acting, with Gosling once again playing a character with an insistent presence." So he's saying that this is this big strength in this is acting.
Who? Not Gosling.
I'm sure he means Clooney. And
yeah, Clooney, Giamatti, Hoffman.
Our girl.
Yeah, Tomei.
Mm-hmm. Get your Rotten Tomato pad out, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for the show where I make... The guys, in this case, just Adam.
I will have two paddles.
Guess the score on Rotten Tomatoes. For those of you unfamiliar with the website, well, here's how it goes. We were at their panel. We should know.
Right.
It's a score. They keep score of reviews on the internet, and they average them out to a score. 0 to 59 is rotten. 60 to, in our case,
80.
84,
uh-huh.
Fresh. 85 and up is certified fresh.
Right.
Do you want to guess the tomato meter or the audience first, Adam?
The tomato meter.
Which would be the critics?
The critics. They're gonna go fresh.
Okay.
They're not certified because it is actually maybe because of the whole liberal thing. I think a lot of there's a lot of liberal lean. I'll go 81%.
85%. It is certified fresh.
Barely made it.
Oh, and by the way, I kept saying Oscar bait. This didn't even get nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, no?
Yeah. Well, that's the point of Oscar bait.
Okay.
Huh. You don't get it. You try and try. I want that Oscar. I don't get it. Audience.
Audience. It's got to go fresh again. So okay. Let me double down on the freshness.
Two freshes.
Yeah. Well, one's a critics.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The audience. Gosling is, I know people like him a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it completely. George Clooney, mm-hmm. That I understand 100% why they're like that.
Hoffman, people like him.
Yeah, this Giamatti. Is a lot of good stuff. I would have to say that they, 87, but more than the critics.
72%.
Oh.
So they liked it, just not as much as the critics.
Okay. That actually does make sense, I'm not thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This one's kind of, I mean, it doesn't have superheroes. People aren't going to like it.
Right.
The Ides of March, Adam, is the day, March 15th, that Julius Caesar was assassinated.
Oh.
In Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, before being stabbed to death, Caesar is told by a soothsayer, beware the Ides of March.
Huh. So Ides means 15?
I don't know. I guess.
Like, all right.
In their language, maybe.
All right.
Oh, by the way, it's just trivia. This is like facts stuff you need to know about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of makes sense because Julius Caesar is Clooney. He has all these people who are his advisors who are around him, but they're, no, I don't know. I messed that up.
I think it just means the backstabby nature of things.
Hmm. Okay. Several times in the movie, characters ask young interns if they are Bearcats, which refers to the University of Cincinnati.
Right.
George Clooney attended the University of Cincinnati briefly, though he never graduated from college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dropped out. Look at him now.
Oh, jeez. You hear that, kids?
Just drop out, you'll do something. I hate the argument, well, Bill Gates never graduated from college.
Yeah, well, he's brilliant.
He dropped out of Harvard. He didn't drop out of community college. He didn't drop out of JC.
Exactly.
He fucking got accepted to Harvard. Crying out loud.
Einstein couldn't even tie his shoes.
The last piece of trivia I already mentioned, the film's cast includes 3 Oscar winners, Clooney, Hoffman, Tomei, and 2 nominees, Gosling. Oh, Gosling was nominated.
Oh.
For what? Oh, he was nominated for the movie where he was fucking that sex doll and he was like in love with it.
Oh, yeah, that was a great movie.
Yeah, he was nominated for that.
The Real Girl. Lars and the Real Girl.
Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I enjoyed mm-hmm. that. And that was him?
Yeah.
What?
And Paul Giamatti was nominated too. Stats, Adam. We want to put this film into perspective with other more successful films that were released that year so we can get a feel of how well financially it held up to its peers. The budget for this movie was $12.5 million.
For what? It's all dialogue. What, to rent the hotel rooms and shit? That'd buy the bus?
Rent the kitchen?
Right. Now, I feel like I always ask this, but does this, the budget, that include paying the actors?
Yes.
Okay, so that all went.
So on this show, the budget is everything to physically make the movie.
Okay.
This doesn't include like marketing. It's everything to shoot the movie.
Okay. Well, then this is all for the cast then.
To bring the crew, you have to pay the crew.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So it's for Giamatti, Hoffman, Clooney, Gosling, Tomei.
Plus, reading the script, they might think, ooh, Oscar. They could take a pay cut, too.
Okay.
They'd be willing to take a pay cut if they know they're going to be in an Oscar-caliber movie.
Plus, hey, it's Clooney. This is my film. Do me a favor. Do me solid.
Yeah.
All right.
You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Yeah.
Okay. How much do you think this movie grossed worldwide off of a $12.5 million budget?
Based on the high ratings, world, I feel like it's not going to be very good in overseas because mm-hmm. this is an America movie.
Yeah.
I would go 80?
75.9 million.
Ooh.
It grossed 40.9 in the US, 35 million overseas.
Okay.
This film debuted in second place on the weekend of October 7th, 2011 with $10.4 million. The number one movie that weekend was Real Steel with $27 million.
Oh, wow.
Remember that movie?
Yeah.
or Rock'em Sock'em Robots the movie. All right, Adam, Box Office Mojo. You know how I like the, you know, these categories.
Yes. Oh no.
Could you take a guess what this is going to be? No, it's nothing exciting.
It's a
this is the 22nd highest
Democratic political conspiracy movie.
This is the 22nd highest grossing political thriller film of all time. You're going to be shocked by what the number. Okay. According to Box Office Mojo.
This is number what?
The 22nd highest grossing political thriller.
Oh, my God. Usually is that many political thrillers?
Usually when you hear political thrillers, you think something like this or something like.
Wag the Dog.
Yeah, Wag the Dog. But that's more of a comedy.
Yeah, that's true.
It's that same
Manchurian Candidate.
Ballpark. Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah.
The president is covering up a murder. You know,
JFK. Stuff, or JFK. Nixon. Or
yes, yeah. Political thriller.
Right.
According to Box Office
Dave.
Mojo. Dave. Comedy. Yeah.
Okay.
Good conspiracy, though. The president's sick. Yeah. Let's get the used car guy who looks like him to take over. Press would have a field day. We found out today. Anyway, according to Box Office
Independence
Mojo.
Day.
No.
Okay.
According to Box Office Mojo, the number one high grossing political thriller, according to them, they're defining this as a political thriller.
American President.
Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
What the hell? Oh, wow.
Now, I know there is a political thriller aspect where you find out, spoiler alert, Robert Redford is a bad guy.
Yeah, well, then why not X-Men then?
Oh, because the Mutant Registration Act?
The whole thing is the government against the X-Men.
Yeah.
That's a political statement. Uh-huh. That's about civil war or civil rights or whatever.
Number two, are you ready for this, Adam?
Oh, God.
Air Force One. Get off my plane.
Okay.
And number three, Traffic, that movie with Benicio Del Toro and Michael Douglas about the drug cartels in Mexico.
Oh.
I guess. That's more political than Captain America.
I don't know about this Box Office Mojo, man.
Last one. This was the 74th highest grossing film of 2011. Number one that year was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
That's fine.
So, thank you, Martin, for the recommendation.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for half of the movie. The half was pretty good.
Recommending a halfway decent movie.
Yeah, halfway decent movie. If you want to write to us for a request.
Yep. Email spoilers@ratpackpodcast.com.
And this movie's available on iTunes, Amazon.
Yeah. So, if you're going to do that, go to our website first. Click on the banner. It'll take you to Amazon or iTunes. Doesn't cost you anything extra, but it helps support the show. We get a little reference thing for your click through. So do that.
And we'll make you guys a deal. Yep. If you leave us a review on iTunes, that really helps the show. We will watch whatever movie you want.
Oh my.
So if there
We didn't talk about this.
So if five people have a request and you leave an iTunes review, yours gets shot to the top of the list.
Yeah. I would rather not do any like Sandler stuff.
Okay, yeah. I think they figured that out.
Yeah, no, but
unless you're a new listener.
No, I feel like they're going
to
do that on purpose.
Adam doesn't like Stiller.
Just to screw with me.
And Sandler.
Yeah, here's iTunes review. Go do Daddy's Boy or Water Boy or something.
Big Daddy.
I combine two. Water Boy and Big Daddy or something.
Okay.
And Grandma's Boy at the same time. It's Sandler-ish. That's part of his camp.
I liked Grandma's Boy.
Did you?
Well, Nick Swardson's the best part of it.
I was...
On the Dance Dance Revolution game?
See, the only way I would agree to watch that movie was after having more than a few drinks. And, I don't remember much about the movie.
It's not as bad as you think it is.
Okay.
Jester would be good for this because he likes video games. Mm-hmm. And they're all video game testers. Right. And a young Jonah Hill, too. People forget Jonah Hill was in that.
Okay. Yeah. No,
like,
fat
Jonah. Like, right. Big Jonah Hill.
He's fat again now, right?
Not as fat.
Okay.
Because he was fat for Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
But he's not like super bad fat.
And the 22 Jump Street, he was a little bit thicker.
Thicker, but nothing like...
Yeah, not like he used to be. Yeah. Well, good for you, Jonah.
Yeah. Oh, did you ever watch the This Is the End?
Yes.
You have to refer to him as two-time Oscar nominee.
That movie is the exact opposite of this movie. The beginning was strong, and then it fucking nosedived. Like, why?
I really thought that the whole twist was they were all just really high, and they imagined the whole end of the world.
That would be in a much better ending.
I did enjoy Michael Cera getting killed, though. I'm not a Michael Cera fan.
That was fun. Yeah, Cracked Up or yeah. Michael Cera.
Danny McBride is the best part of the movie.
He's cool.
James Franco didn't suck any dick last night. Now I know y'all are playing. Yeah. That's a fun one. Anyway, we don't know what we have planned for next week.
Yeah, we're doing getting to Jackie Chan. We talked about it before.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We talked about it, I think, on the last podcast about Maestro wanted a Jackie Chan.
Yes.
So we'll see if we can get Maestro to join us for this.
Yes. What's it going to be? Is it going to be Rush Hour? Rush Hour 2? Rush Hour 3? You know what's a really shitty Jackie Chan movie that would be awesome to make fun of?
Tuxedo?
Oh, yes!
Really?
The Tuxedo! with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
All right.
If you wear this tuxedo, you have powers.
Mm. And then the Medallion was also pretty rough, which turned into a cartoon.
Oh, yeah. The Jackie Chan Adventures.
Yeah. With the Medallion making an appearance throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Or the TV show. Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway,
that'd be bad. All right, guys.
Yeah, well, I have plenty of things to say for this Jackie Chan coming up.
All right.
Well, stay tuned for that, guys.
Yes. And until next time, this is Hollywood.
I'm Adam.